Bucham Abayim, and welcome to the third in the continuing series of lectures of Shi'urim on the Yud-Gimel Midas, the 13 principles of exegesis by which the sages, Chazal, Zichron Livracha, interpret scripture. In the last two lectures, we have discussed the emergence, the creation of the new paradigm, which is signaled by the Braisa of Rabbi Yishmael, specifically, that was the Braisa notes that Hillel Darshand, 7 meters from the Bnei Beseira, this change, important change of paradigm from what we would call something like a Hekesh, which means a logical equation of two matters, to what became the Gezeirah Shavah, which constitutes one of the not only one of the Yud-Gimel Midas of Rabbi Yishmael, but actually the Midah which Hillel himself used, as the Gemara Tosefta Yerushalmi, both Gemara Bavli Yerushalmi relate in front of Bnei Beseira. And based upon that, the assertion has been that behind every Gezeirah Shavah lies fundamentally a Hekesh, a logical connection between two subjects, two matters, which was transformed into the new proto-text, namely that of the Gezeirah Shavah, on the basis of which Chazal could go on and actually utilize the hermeneutical principles to in fact derive new halachas, details of halachas, which would not otherwise have been derived using the Hekesh. We focused on a Gemara in Daf Lamed Daled in Rosh Hashanah as an explicit case of this. However,
just clarify, what is a Hekesh?
A Hekesh is basically a logical, a rational equation between two things. An equation. It's a rational equation.
Independent of the text.
Right, right. In other words, you take two matters and you equate them. It's an equation.
No, I don't need psukim for that. I just need to think.
You don't really need psukim for that. I mean, you need psukim to raise the topics. So the topics are, you know, I mean, well, actually, I'll tell you the truth. Actually, in fact, we find Taisef Hekeshim in Chazal, even on Maz Janati Reisa. In Erev, the Gemara makes Hekeshim and Kavachemish from Chotzer to Mavi, etc., etc. But be that as it may, we take two matters in the Chumash. For example, the Hekesh that was used by Hillel, which we see in the Rosh Hashanah Tosefta, we've been a Hekesh between the Tomid Shoshachem, the common Tomid, and between the common Pesach. That was a Hekesh used by Shmuel. A Hekesh basically means equating two things, seeing that two things should have should be equated, should be equal with regard to a specific law. That's a Hekesh, okay? Okay, so now like this. Now, what I'd like to do is I'd like to go actually deep into this matter, and the focus of my discussion is going to be Peidalam and Aleph, because the fact is, Peidalam in the Meseches and Bava Kama. Okay, so I have open to me Perak HaChovel, the 8th Perak of Bava Kama, Peidalet, and the Gemara is looking to establish, on the basis of Psukim, a very, very famous din. All of you know that the Torah says in Shemais, that ayin tachas ayin, that a person, you know, injures a person, let's say takes out his eye, so it says the Torah ayin tachas ayin, as we all know, that the Kabbalah that we have from Chazal, right, which is undisputed anywhere, is in fact that the Torah is not telling us that we should chas v'shalom take out the person's eye, the person who's the damager's eye, but rather he has to pay a monetary compensation, right? In other words, we know, right, for sure, that's something agreed upon, that ayin tachas ayin means, as Chazal would say, mamon, it means money. It's not speaking about taking out the perpetrator's eye. Now, the fact is that the Gemara devotes two amudim, almost an entire daf, right, to in fact deriving this from sources, from scriptural sources. There's actually a continuity of the drushas beginning on Pei Gimel Amud Beis, Sof Amud Beis. The Gemara brings a brisa of Rabbi Yisroel ben Yehuda, and then brings a series of brises, which the Gemara basically tries to prove this from Psukim, to prove it in a what you would call a more of a logical way. In other words, if we have to take out a person's eye and take out his limb, then in certain cases it becomes rather undefined. In other words, how could one limb substitute for another limb? Or how does, in one of the situations of the limbs equal? So in other words, the Gemara tries to justify with Pesukim, but make rational arguments, right? Why ayin tachas ayin cannot rationally mean, it cannot practically mean, literally an eye for an eye, but we have to have recourse for mammon, for money. And the Gemara runs through several braises, several tanaim, and then several marayim. Finally, to make a long story short, the Gemara ends up with Rav Ashi. And Rav Ashi learns a gzeira shavu, right? So those of you who have a Gemara in front of you, those of you who don't have a Gemara, nonetheless, it's the first wide line. It's the first of the widest lines of the Gemara. So the Gemara says, Rav Ashi Omar, Rav Ashi says, and once again, Rav Ashi is the first person who's actually bringing a Zeh L'Shava. Up to now, the Gemara has made what I would call sort of like practical arguments. Rav Ashi Omar, Asya Tachas Mishor. In other words, we make a Zeh L'Shava using the word Tachas. Tachas literally means under, but here it means tachas in place of, right? From the case of a shor. In other words, we're making a gzeira shava from where it says tachas respect to a human being to tachas where it says respect to a shor, to an animal. Kasiv hacha, it says here in Shmois, in Exodus, it says ayin tachas ayin, right? That's set respect to a human being. Uksiv hasam, it says, right, another place, in, right, Shalom Yishalom Shor, Tachas Ashor. You have to play an ox for an ox. So, right? So, Malahala, just like paying an ox for an ox, is obviously Mama. No one's killing the ox. In other words, if someone, in an ox, the person, you know, kills your ox, you have to kill the other person's ox. Just like this is a payment, a monetary payment. Avkan Mama. Here too, we're referring to Mama. So, the Gemara has a question. My chaz yon of Tachas Tachas Bishor. Why are you learning a Gzeh Shava? A tachas tachas using the two words from a shore, from the case of a shore, for an animal. Nail of tachas tachas be adam, it says, right? Respect to adam is also as tachas, like it says, but a satan nefesh tachas nefesh. And then you should give a nefesh tachas nefesh, which the Gemara understands to be, at least the Gemara seems to say, that the puzzle is referring to actually capital punishment. Malahal and mamish, just like there, respect to a person, it really means killing the person. Afkan mamish, you have to say, it literally means an eye. I should say, mamish means literally. Okay? So the Gemara says like this, Ami, danim nizokim nizokim nizokim, danim nizokim nizokim. The Gemara says, no. We equate two cases of torts. We don't equate a case of tort with a case of killing, of death, of murder. Whereas adagabo, the contrary, the Gemara says, danim adam mi adam in danim adam behema. We should equate the cases of a person, one person from another person, and we shouldn't equate the case of a person from an animal. In other words, the Gemara says, there are two connections we can make. We will get connection between the crime, right, a tort is the person murder, or we can make a connection between the person, the object, which is either the person, opposed to person, an animal. So the Gemara says, El Amrav Ashi mitachas Hashem ona yolof le'odam mi'odam b'zik b'zik. So Rav Ashi, father comes up with the word mitachas Hashem ona, right, which in fact actually satisfies both conditions. First of all, you have two cases of torts. Tasha Ona Inisa, Devon Chavbeis. So in other words, there we have a case of a person, a case of torts. Okay, that's what the Gemara ends up. Now, what's interesting is the Tosfos is bothered by this. What about the other Malayim? They didn't have the Gzeira Shava? If the Gzeira Shava is something the person has a Kabbalah on, what do the other Malayim have to say? So Tosfos has the question, Bishab Malayim Savri. So in other words, Tosfos says the other Malayim want to say that the Gzeira Shava said with respect to another din, and in the case of Ayin Tachas Ayin, you can say Gzeira Shava, because here Ayin Tachas Ayin is coming to tell me what the actual meaning of the verse is, and not actually coming to equate things, whatever it is. But what I want to do is I want to look at the Nimukah Yosef. Because the Nimukah Yosef raises this question, how could it be that the Malayim are not aware of this Gzeira Shava? Why, in other words, the question is, why use a practical, rational argument if I have a certified Gzeira Shava, which of course is a Kabbalah Lachal Moshe Mitzrayim, and that is certainly something which is if Rav Ashi, who is the leader of the Malayim, had it, certainly everyone before that had it. So the Mukhi Yosef says, right, well, the Gemara, I'm reading the Mukhi Yosef, it appears in the back of your Gemaras, in the standard Shas, in Daf Lamed Abed Aleph, in the Dapei Halif, and the Mukhi Yosef says the following thing. He says, "The Gemara Miyaisik of Asher Mamon, Bidechsiv Tachas Tachas." In other words, Yosef summarizes the discussion of the Gemara. Rav Ashi learns a Gzeira Shava Tachas Tachas. in which, right, a consequence of which, the din of ayin nachas ayin is speaking about mamon, a monetary compensation, and not some other type of compensation. So the Rif asks a question, v'yesh min hatengah. Rif asks a question. The kula tanai lo yalfin mahu klar. All the other tanai, that's interesting. The Taisus calls them alayim, but there are also tanai involved in the sukkah too. What about the other tanai? How come they don't learn from this pasuk? The ein adam dan gezeh shava. Elim came kabbalah. A person can only consider it as a kabbalah. You're telling me Rav Ashi, who's the last of alayim, he had a kabbalah, and such illustrious tanayim as a dustai ben Yehuda, and Gemara brings up Yishmael. Tanda we have Ishmael, illustrious the Virabchia, all these illustrious Tanayim do not have this Kabbalah, which Rav Ashi, who's the last of Marayim, had. How could it possibly be? So that's the question of the Rav. The Rav is basically asking the same question of the Taisus.
The
Book of Yosef is asking the same question. The Book of Yosef of the Rav is asking the same question the Taisus asked. Upil Shurma Foshim Zal. So the Book of Yosef says the Mefarshim, the commentators explain, Dahacha Perusha. This is the way you're supposed to understand this. Kol Davar, everything. I'm reading this nice and slow so that everybody can hear this. Kol Davar, everything. Sheyidin Boy Shekenu, that we know is true. Ha'emes. Anything we know happens to be true. How do we know it's true? I don't know. We know it's true. Kubasim, that we know is true and based upon logical and rational grounds. But we don't have a direct raya from a pasuk. We don't have a direct proof from the pasuk. In other words, we happen to know something is true. Probably, I mean, it could be the same tradition, but the tradition might not have been the same already. But in other words, probably we know it's true. The Mukayasev is referring to the sugi of the Gemara, and there, the truth element was actually ascertained on the basis of rational empirical arguments. In other words, anything that I know rationally to be true, conceptually be true, but I don't have a direct proof from a verse. Harishus biyat kol adam laduno lavia. A person can actually make a gzeh l'shava. A person can make a gzeh l'shava. Here we, the Wood Yosef is saying, is that it is perfectly permitted to, in fact, make a gzeh l'shava, creation ex nihilo, if I know, in fact, actually, that the din is true, the law is true, based upon, based upon our rational grounds. For Alva Pishain, Adam Dang Zela Shava Elim Kim Kabbalah Mirabai. What about the general cloud that we know we saw in the Gemara Pesach of a person, right? A person can make a Zela Shava unless he has a Kalmus as Rebbe. So he says, Haim Ladun Lagamre. That means, actually, there's a little bit of a difficulty over here. Bichadosh. Kalema Ein Takas Ein Osho Takas Shor. Right? In other words, well, actually, I tell you, there's a run-on. Haim Ladun Lagamre is actually a Chiddush Shat Shem, is a difficulty of the Rif. But basically, I would say is the din of Adam Dun Lagamre means is to create the din anew. But if in fact I've already established that the din is correct, right, then in fact I can actually invoke a Gzeira Shava. That's what Mukhi Yosef says. There's a second opinion in the Mukhi Yosef. The Anshi Chiddush Shat Shem says the second opinion is actually not the proper Gilsa. But I want to focus on this a bit. Yeah.
Just to clarify, according to the Book of Yosef, if I have a Masorah on something as a halacha, I can make a Gzeira Shava. The only time I can't.
Well, you said a Masorah.
If I know it's true. The only time I can't. So again, when can I not make a Gzeira Shava?
I can make a Gzeira Shava if I'm coming to create the din ex nihilo. In other words, for example, I don't know that something is true rationally. So in that case, I can't make a gzeira shava. This is the usham the pesachim spoke about. If I don't know on other grounds, on empirical grounds, I don't know that the law is true.
I suffic.
I didn't know it's true. I was suffic. Let's say I don't know the law is true, and therefore, what do I do? What I do is I see two words in the Torah and I create a gzeira shava that I can't do. But if I already know that the law is true, right? But I don't know how to derive it from a verse.
And I know it's true because I have no suffix.
Right, I have no suffix. Right. I know it's true. Therefore, what I can do is I can come along and create the Gzeira Shava. Now, really, what the Mugi Yosef is saying is really what the Sugi is saying. The Sugi in Beit Alban Aleph speaks about there's a list of Tanaim and Malayim that establish on rational grounds, on practical rational grounds, why Aritach's Ayin must mean monetary compensation and doesn't mean I'm literally, taking out the other person's limb. right? In, you know, in retribution, in, you know, in response. So because of this, Rav Ashi could come along and say, look, I'm very, very much convinced. It's clear from your arguments that this law is true, okay? You haven't brought me an absolute proof from the Psukim, as the Gemara, you know, shows these an absolute proof. So therefore, what I'm going to do is I'm going to make this Gezeirah Shabbat. That's what Rav Ashi says.
Why did none of the earlier people make Gezeirah Shabbat then? It was clear to them as the halacha.
Oh, so I'm not sure. You asked me a question I don't know. I would hesitate to make a guess, is because it turns out the actual Gezeirah Shabbat that Rav Ashi makes is at the end, Rav Ashi makes Gezeirah Shabbat, but saying Tachas, he says, Mitachas. So there's a Me'iri here, and this Gemara that says that sometimes we make a Gezeirah Shabbat, we don't have the exact word, as is, for example, the Gemara Cholin, Uva HaKoyin V'Shava HaKoyin. But there, it says the Me'iri, the general long Gezeirah Shabbat is, we're not equating two words, we're equating two subjects. That one I would hazard to guess. In other words, but in any case, I don't know why, but the book Yosef says this is this.
If a priori the din is established, why did he do it? What is he?
Well, this is the second. But this is not the point. The point is this is actually the issue we've been dealing with the last few weeks. Yeah. Namely, Hillel clearly said the din is established. Hillel said you have 200 carbonate plus a plachim that you bring every single year. He had a hekesh, but not unless he established a gezeirah shabbat. Okay, so in other words, the Miyakis now is actually, in fact, explicitly stating what we've been saying over the last 2 weeks. I left this for last, of course, that Yosef is stating clearly that a gezeirah shabbat, when we say gezeirah shabbat, has to have a Kabbalah, right? It doesn't mean I have a Kabbalah on the actual exegesis, the actual gezeirah shabbat. But anything that I know on rational, empirical, or other grounds is true, then one can establish a gezeirah shabbat. Okay, that's the beginning of the sentence. Now, of course, Yosef is saying this as a rule, as a general rule. He's not saying, well, in this case of Rav Ashi. In other words, he's establishing this as a rule. And, right, on the basis of which I would like to say that what the Yosef is actually using this Gemara as a type of a precedent that in fact, Yosef is certainly suggesting that there are other gezeirah shabbats in Shas which are of the same nature. Namely, is that the actual Gezeirah Shabbat was not something which was a Kabbalah, you know, for previous generations, but nonetheless, it was a Hekesh, or it was an equation, it was an empirical equation that had been established, and the emergence of the Gezeirah Shabbat was merely established at a later point in time. But this does not violate the principle that a person has to have a Kabbalah on a Gezeirah Shabbat. That's what the Yosef is saying.
Did Moshe Rabbeinu get any Gezeirah Shabbos now? Or everything was at one point rationally true and therefore...
The Gemara says in Tumura that after the death of Moshe Rabbeinu they forgot several things. I think one of them is a Gezeirah Shabbos. And the Rambam says in Sherer Sheni clearly that Moshe Rabbeinu also was done Gezeirah Shabbos. But in other words, that's an agadah. In other words, all I'm saying is that we see a principle that a Gezeirah Shabbos rests upon, right, well, often rest upon a svara.
Let me just clarify. There's two kinds of gezeirah shabbat now, according to the Mukai Yosef. There's a gezeirah shabbat that I can make myself when it's clearly and obviously true.
Right.
And a gezeirah shabbat that I have to have as a Kabbalah for my Rebbe.
Well, I think two types of gezeirah shabbats. There's actually, no, all he's saying is like this. He's saying that where Chazal say that you have to cover Rebbe is you can't create a new gezeirah shabbat to work. You have to have, but it doesn't mean I had a gezeirah shabbat for my Rebbe. In other words, the Mugli Yosef is saying, what the Mugli is saying is, that when Chazal say, you can't make a Gezeirah Shabbat unless you have a Rebbe, means you can't make a Gezeirah Shabbat without something previous to that.
So there's never a Mesorah on a Gezeirah Shabbat.
I don't think there's never a Mesorah. The Mugli Yosef didn't say that. All he's saying is, a Gezeirah Shabbat doesn't mean, when it says Gezeirah Shabbat, it doesn't mean that I had my Rebbe told me the Gezeirah Shabbat. That's what Mugli Yosef is saying. Now, is Mugli Yosef saying the two types of Gezeirah Shabbat? Well, in other words, he's not saying this always happens, so I can assume that Gezeirah Shabbos can assume, you know, probably that it is. But in other words, I'm not interested in the aspect of the Mugai Yosef. I mean, the Gemara speaks of Gezeirah Shabbos Moshe Rabbeinu. All I want to stop Mugai Yosef is the point that we're making in the last two shiurim, right, is that the going from a Hekesh to Gezeirah Shabbos doesn't mean I'm not a Messiah. It's called a Messiah.
And hekesh here means knowing something definitely true.
Right, that's definitely true. Now, how I know it's true? So in the sugya over here, Mavakamba, when Moshe Yosef is is explaining, was speaking about knowing it rationally. In other words, the Gemara is making practical, rational, empirical arguments. That's what the Gemara was speaking about. Okay? That's what the Gemara is speaking about. The Gemara, no one says in the Gemara, I heard from my Rebbe this, I heard from Rebbe that. People basically are taking a posture and saying, I take a Zion, well, how do you take out the eye? Maybe people have different eyes. In other words, practically, there's no way of adjudicating the law. So therefore, it must refer to Mama. And that's one of the, that's a type of practical argument being made here with this Gemara. Okay? Okay, is that clear? Okay, fine. Very good. Now, so one of why established, once again, to your people have established this, I think that the Book of Yosef, in a certain sense, is a proof to what we've been claiming, that Exegeshava, when a person says I have a kavod from a Rebbe, it doesn't necessarily mean the actual Exegeshava, but you know what, the person previous to me said something which he has established as being true, independent of an exegesis, and the Exegeshava comes to create this exegesis. Yeah.
Is it fair to say that Tosfos argues on this principle?
So like this. First of all, the Tosfos here say that the Gezer HaShava, it's interesting, the Tosfos say the Gezer HaShava is used with respect to a dinner called Meitiv. In other words, what type of property, real estate, do I pay in cases when I own a monetary compensation? That's what Tosfos says. But Tosfos seems to make two arguments here. And one argument is that they use the Gezer HaShava for Meitiv, and they say that here, I shouldn't use the Gezer HaShava, because the Gezer HaShava, I can't use the Shabbat to tell me what the simple meaning of the verse is. That's what Tosfos says. But for example, if the Tosfos in Shabbos...
Well, it's ever, or just in this case?
Well, Tosfos is seeing this as if a cloud. The aim of Hezik Zera Shabbat Einach is Ayimi Pashtek. The mashma ayin mamish ela bidrosh achrisa.
This is not a real gzera shava.
This is right. In other words, this is not you don't use a gzera shava in such a case. That's what Tosfos is saying.
This gzera shava ravashi is not.
This gzera shava is right. Is that no? That's not a real one. The other b'rayim feel I should not use a gzera shava. The gzera shava runs against the simple meaning of the verse. That's what Tosfos is saying.
Because this gzera shava is used.
The aim. No. Tosfos said that's what he said. Tosfos said two things. In other words, Tosfos like this. Tosfos says, I'm explaining to Tosfos in 1 second. Mm-hmm. Tosfos says two. There are two statements in Tosfos. Statement number one, Tosfos says, where Tosfos paid Dalbut Aleph, Diva Baskel, Ravashi, Vachule. Tosfos makes statement number one is that they take this Gzeh Shava and they use it with the little Meitiv. And they feel they shouldn't use the Gzeh Shava in the case of this over here, because Gzeh Shava runs against the simple meaning of the Pasuk.
So that's two.
That's 2 points. Now, the Tosfos, to understand this Tosfos, I didn't actually intend to be sure on the Tosfos, is based upon a Tosfos of Azorik and Shabbos. I think it's Daf Zad involved. And there, Tosfos, there's a Machloikas, who in Bekoshis ates him. And the Gemara says there, on top of Amar Aleph, there that the that in other words the other Baraim didn't learn the Gzeira Shafa. And Tosfos said there they had a list of a certain number of Gzeira Shafas. In other words, there was a specific list of 150 Gzeira Shafas. And basically, in other words, there was a Sera of how many Gzeira Shafas you use. So basically they couldn't just reject the Gzeira Shafa. There was a Sera to use Tachas Tachas. Then because of that, that's what Tosfos is saying over here. There's Gzeira Shafa for Tachas. In other words, they didn't use the Gzeira Shafa for this case because it goes against the simple meaning of the Pasuk. But that means the Sera for something because they still have a list. So the answer is they filled in the list by using what? By using it for something else, namely meita. That's the meaning of this Tosfos. Let's play this Tosfos here for the Tosfos. In other words, I don't want to really go into this so much.
Tosfos is arguing in the Mukha Yosef.
Yeah, Tosfos is arguing in the Mukha Yosef. Tosfos is arguing in the However, what I want to say is that yes and no. Let me explain to you why yes and no. In other words, Tosfos' contention in Shabbos is that there's a list of Gzeira Shavas, a certain number of Gzeira Shavas. And you can't go beyond the list. So, what if I have a choice between using it for one or another? So how am I going to decide? For example, in our case, you have to go over here. In other words, Ravash, there were two ways I could use the Gzeira Shava. I could have used it for Mamon, or could have used it for, I don't know, for Hatzicha, or taking out the limb. Depends to what I was makashit. At the end, Ravash resolved it. But if I have a list, but the disagreement with which Gzeira Shava is, in a certain sense, at the end, how do I make the decision which Gzeira Shava to use? It's going to be Sfarim. In other words, if I have a list of Gzeira Shavas, but we're arguing which Gzeira Shava will not include, at the end, what am I resorting to? How? So in other words, what I say is, They're arguing and not arguing.
But I have to have a Masora on...
A number.
Either the number or the word.
Whatever, fine. But in another case, I think still at the end, Tosfos is going to say, what nails the Gezeira Shava, what establishes it, is the Svara. It's just that Tosfos is saying is that, in other words, there's a bounded amount of Svaras, etc. You know, I mean, I can't dream every Svara in the world. But at the end, Tosfos is saying is, I come to my conclusion of the Gezeira Shava based on what I feel is a sufficient Svara, a sufficient thing. So in other words, I'm not sure that Tosfos is arguing completely on Mukhi Yosef. I think this is what's called Moedim Mixas, as is, by the way, my dear listeners, in all Machlokas Rishonim. Since Rishonim are arguing, and since there are points for against each one, there's always a common conceptual agreement on the basis they form an opinion. So that's what I would say. But the Mukhi Yosef says it explicitly. That's the important thing I want to say. Yeah. I don't want to go into the Tosfos because we can bring other Tosfos too. Okay? But you can look at Hazerek, there's a famous Humakoshis Eitzin, Rabbi Akiva, a Terhis Dila, we can ask everyone's question. So, okay, I think it's not involved. Okay, fine, now. Okay, now that we've established at least the Mekhi Yosef and might have mixed us the Tosfos, intrinsically agrees that what generates the Gzeira Shava is a Hekesh or a Svara, then I want to focus a little bit more on the Sugya Tov, the Nofa Kama. Okay? But Baruch Hashem, at least we have Baruch Rahmana Desayin, we have actually a Tanah Nevesayal, no? The Mekhi Yosef. No? Interesting, the Mekhi Yosef says, Kosu HaMafosh, which means the Yosef is not like a Das Yochid, but actually the Yosef is actually speaking for the Mefarsh and the interpreters. It seemed that this was actually a... And by the way, Derech Agav in the Meir, as I mentioned before, says that even though it says Mitachas, the Yosef says that the Meir says that Gzeira Shava is not only a question of two words, it's actually a question of two inyanim. So the Meir is also saying something very similar, that we're equating two subjects and not actually two words. Okay, now. But I want to look a little bit more in the sugya. Question is, it's very interesting that the Gemara brings so many proofs that ayin tachas ayin is money. I mean, it's very, there are not that many sugyas that bring so many proofs that that it is true. Usually we have one drasha, maybe two drashas, that's it. But to bring the entire Olam of Gemara, 5, 6, 7 opinions. In fact, actually, in the Gilmud Beis Ben Al-Aleph, we have a whole list of arguments. Now, what types of sugyas do we have still to this? Is that the Gemara is making a claim, and the Gemara just brings one after another? Well, for example, in Menachos Samach Vav, Menachos HaShabbos, as is well known, the Tztukim claim the Menachos HaShabbos meant literally, I mean, it says in the Torah you're supposed to bring the count the Sfiras HaOyim and bring the Korban HaOyim on Menachos HaShabbos, the day after the Shabbos. And the Tztukim, the Sadducees, were of the opinion, this is, you know, a Pusik Gemara, you don't have to go to the library for this. Rav Menachos tells us in Samach Hei Samach Vav, that they learned Menachos HaShabbos meant Shabbos Bereishis. And Chazal, of course, argued and claimed that Menachos HaShabbos, in fact, actually means Shabbos refers to Pesach, and the Gemara brings many opinions. The Gemara decides which opinions are more refutable than others. At the end, the Gemara brings a limud. The Gemara claims that this opinion cannot be refuted, the two opinions cannot be refuted, the opinions can be refuted to a certain extent. And I always say, it's interesting, the Rambam says in Perek Beis in Hilchos Shabbos that we have especially a din of the Rambam. The Kabbalah says v'chai behem, that in the case of a life, in the case where life is threatened, you know, a person is, you know, God forbid, whose life is being threatened, then we're allowed to desecrate the Shabbos. And the Rambam brings v'chai behem. The Rambam mentions something interesting. The Rambam says, and not like the minimum, the stukim will argue that you're not supposed to desecrate the Shabbos. And I always raise the question, I mean, where do we see in the Shas and the stukim argued on the drasha of Chaybem. So I claim that if you look at the Gemara in Pei Gimel and Yumo, where Chaybem is brought, there's also a sugya which very, very much parallels the sugya in Menachos. Namely, one drasha after another, and then the Gemara decides what drasha is irrefutable. So I claim the Rambam on the basis of the equation between the two sugyas understood, as a matter of principle, that where the Gemara brings many opinions, right? Until we come to a point where the Gemara proves something, it's usually a clue that the interpretation of the Pasuk was being argued against Chazal. Okay? That could possibly be too. It's very interesting. You should know something. The Rambam in Chovel HaMazik also spends three halakhas explaining how we get it from Sukkim. I'm not sure that's because the Karaim, because he's echoing the Gemara. But in any case, I think it can be established, right? I mean, it makes sense. It certainly makes sense to establish the fact that bringing one opinion after another until a finally end of Ashi creates a Zeh Shava, right? And that the buck stops there, right? Is that in fact it must have been, and the Rambam emphasizes because of the Pesukim of Chumash B'Sinai. In other words, it must be that there must have been opposition from certain anti-Chazal quarters, from Sadducee quarters, right, to this interpretation of the Pasuk. And we know, I think, till today, I think the Muslims, I think, actually top of hand, now that's what I heard, but as a little kid, I grew up with that, and that was true. Like a lot of things I grew up with, they actually top of hand.
Not a month ago, they did that in Nigeria.
Yeah, okay, fine, very good.
Nigeria.
So if the book of Yosef is somehow using this sugya as a basis for making what he calls a klal, a zeh shava. In other words, what the Yosef says, on the basis of the circle we see a klal, a general law, we say, no, he doesn't say that zeh shava is different than zeh shavas. This is, you know, a new time, it's maybe a smachtik, a vashe. The Yosef uses this sugya as a precedent, as a important example of what goes on in Zeh Shava. He uses this example to apply to other cases too. I wanted to add that it might be, we have an interesting thing. What about the Tzedokim? Would the Tzedokim agree with the Zeh Shava? In other words, why do you tell the Tzedokim it's a Zeh Shava? What will he say to that? So, Baruch Hashem, there's a Gemara in Saitar, I'm a Gimel Beis. The Gemara is not speaking about anything you call like, you know, legal. It's speaking about whether Eloinei Moher Ishchem. But the Gemara brings, so it turns out, is that the Gemara brings several rayas, like that B'Gzer Shava, that Eloinei Moher Ishchem. And the Gemara says, I'm quoting from the Gemara Gilon Beis in Sota, following 33 side B. Tanya, Omer Rabbi Lozer Rabbi Yosi, Tanya Dreiser, B'dava Zeh, on this thing, Ziyafti Sifei Kusim, I disproved the Kusim. Amarti Lahem, I said to them, Ziyafti Teraschem. In other words, you made false your Torah. Your Torah is a forgery, it's a false. Right? And you don't get anything. In other words, you made a whole way of interpreting the Torah, and look what you did. You couldn't come up with anything. Shatem omer lemer eschem. You say lemer eschem. I follow what you lemer eschem. But however it was, I don't lamed anu am gzeh eshava. Atem bama lemadatum. In other words, how do you learn eschem? We learn from gzeh eshava. In other words, the Eliezer of Yosi seems to be implying is that a major, the important difference between Chazal, where Chazal learned from verses, and between the Kusim, and I guess Kusim, Stokim, in other words, they weren't invited to Chazal, to the oral law, is that we learn this from Gezeirah Shava. You don't have a Gezeirah Shava.
Rabbi Ezra Yosef is one of the people that list to meet us.
No, it's not, no,
It's 36
meters. Right, could be. Okay. There's a Rabbi Yosef, right? I can remember. I didn't think about it. There's a Rabbi Yosef Lili, but maybe it's a Rabbi Yosef Lili, yeah. Could be.
Could be.
Right, okay. Could be. To think about it, maybe next week we'll make some schaga for that. Now, the Gemara, the Gemara is a very, very, you know, the Gemara doesn't say this derach agav, in other words. The Gemara actually is a very, very, you know, it doesn't just say this, you know, haphazardly, coincidentally, I would say. But it seems that, you know, the Kusim did not accept the notion of Gezeirah Shava. So I want to claim, we have here an interesting fact. The Gezeirah Shava of Hillel, for sure, was not something, probably, that the Tzedukim would accept. For this Gemara, clearly, the Tzedukim don't accept the notion of Gezeirah Shava. The Tzedukim have to find some other way of digging this out of the text. Some scholarly or linguistic or whatever way of digging out the text. But they didn't accept the notion of Gezeirah Shava. Which, in a certain sense, in my opinion, spells out the fact that the establishment of a new text is not only, you know, I mean, Rafael, you asked the question, why was the need to establish a new text? Well, I mean, it is true that Gezeirah Shava does create powerful tools, but at what times? But, you know, what prompts us to decide at one time or another? I always thought that, for example, the establishment of the Mishnah over the Drashas, Rebbe's Mishnah, I always thought that the significance of the Mishnah was, is that it put an end to the drashas. And I would think that part of the reason was, is that people already were making drashas against the authority of Chazal. And the more drashas and the more methods we make somehow might lead us away from what we feel is the halachic truth, the Beseirah, the tradition we have. And because of that, now the tradition becomes consolidated within the Mishnah. The Mishnah is firmly established as halachas that we accept. This is actually what Rashi says in Lo Gimel Basin, but Mitzvah. Rebbe, you know, checked out which Mishnahs were authentic or not authentic. That's what Rashi says, meaning that there were a lot of drushes at that time that were not authentic. And on the basis of that, Rebbe put an end to the drushes, at least original drushes, and the Teresh B'al Peh, the era after that was the era of Gemara, would now be generated based on Mishnayos. If you look in Rishima number 2, there's an entire discussion about that. Could it be that we have the same thing over here too? In other words, the Kusim, or the Tzedukim, with their competing Svaras, or competing Drashas, it was necessary to establish a text which would, in other words, go beyond. The text of Gezeirah Shava, once it's established, you know, is not subject anymore to any type of a critique, a legal critique, because it's a Gezeirah Shava, a Kabbalah, a Rabbi. In other words, once you say a Svara, I can say a Svara against you. But once you say Gezeirah Shava, like B'nai B'Seya said, okay, we're Makabal, Gezeirah Shava. In other words, the creation of the new text, right, preserves, consolidates, and preserves the Beseirah, inoculates it, right, from either logical or hermeneutical critique, right? And that's what, in a certain sense, stains the oral law in the face of those who deny it. So, what I want to claim in this sugya, clearly we see that going on. In other words, the many opinions that are being offered, right, you know, to prove what we know to be true, ayin tachazayin, but still always, as the Gemara does, you know, so it was raise a point which puts it to question, but once Rav Ashi makes a Gezeirah Shava, that's it. The sugya ends there. The buck, the little rabbinical buck ends there. Because the Gzeila Shava is a text, a model, right? Which is beyond, it's not subject to the type of critique. It's two words that are equal, that's it. Everyone's saying on it too. So, could it be that you ask the question, why the Sheva Midas? The answer is, it could be, right, that in fact, the time of Hillel, at that time, the Tzedukim had very much questioned the Masechta of Chazal. And if I used, in other words, if I use a means of argument, let's say Kal Vachomer, then they would have argued in the same way as the Bnei Seira argued. I could always find points to place the Kal Vachomer in doubt. But once I say Gzeila Shava, that's it. There's no more conventional conversation.
How hard is it to offer an alternative Gzeila Shava? We find people are all over the place, but this one's like this, and he's darish it for some reason.
Yeah, but that's among Chazal. That's among Chazal.
So,
in other words,
it isn't true that when someone states that it's Gzeila Shava, then that's
no,
it.
But each person is claiming as a Maseva on it. In other words, that's what Taisa said. That when people arguing Gzeila Shava,
so really the point is that the halacha has a Maseva, not that it has a Gzeila Shava. The point is that this halacha has a
Messiah. Oh, yes, but the Messiah can be a smaller that's a saleable. Once I couch in the Lashon of Gzeila Shava, right, so therefore it's not subject to any type of a critique. I take the Messiah, and I freeze it.
So it seems to be saying that Messiah wouldn't be credible
that's what it is. So for example, just like no one would go to a mishnah and say, well, I disagree with the law, let's go dash that person definitely. We only say mina hanamile. So here too, in other words, what we have here is enough is that I think there's two factors here which are important. In other words, in the emergence of a new genre, there's always really two opinions. What generates it? So one opinion, like for example, like the Chazon Ish in his letter to Rabbi Chanan Wasserman Hashem, he comes down by the Chazon Ish, speaks about that the reason we can't argue on the Gemara is not like the Rabbi Chanan at least tried to suggest that we can't get all Chachmei Yisrael together, but rather because there was a Yidus HaDeves, which could possibly be that this is part of what was being about over here, that Svaris are suspect in the later generations. There was the earlier generations were capable of equating things using their intellect. We don't come to them. Therefore, we freeze, we make a Gzeila Shava. Alternatively, you could say, is that, in other words, just like in some people, the writing down the Mishnah was the attempt to preserve the Torah Shem Yalpa, right? The Gemara in the same way. So, too, through taking through the Yudgim Midas, in which there's a rules. There's internal rules. It's not, in other words, no one's questioning the logic of the Midah. The just question is how I use it. No one questions the basis, no one questions the empirical basis of the Midah. Right? Like, for example, in Quistics, you use, the Schrodinger equation, Newton's equation, Dirac equation. No one questions how he got to the equation. You assume the equation. Now it becomes part of the new paradigm until someone decides the equation is no good anymore. What I'm saying is that, in other words, here too, once I create a model which has its own rules, right? So I'm no longer concerned with, the empirical road towards that model. It becomes an internal thing. Now we might disagree among each other, as how I use the rules. We'll speak about that. Rabbi Akiva, Rabbi Shmuel, is it Muftah Mitzad Echad? I might argue on how to use the rules, but what I have is I've internalized things. There's internal rules. I'm not subject to an empirical critique. Someone can come along and critique me because I have internal rules. You want to critique me, you have to use the same model, and you have to agree with my rules. So, in other words, what I want to claim, and I'm basing myself on the sugi and bavakama, what I want to claim is that the role of the Gezeira Shava is a internalizing. It's a bastion. By internalizing the rules, by creating a model with its own rules. So now I've incubated the oral law for any... What?
Insulated.
Or maybe incubated. Insulated. I've insulated the oral law, right, from the empirical critique. And this ensures its survival.
It's not really... It's a Chazal's way of saying Gazayas.
Gazayas, right. Anyway. Anyway, so that's, in other words, I think that, and so if we speak about really, you know, Beis Hillel and B'nai B'Seger, that's what he was doing. That he was doing. In other words, the confrontation of Hillel and B'nai B'Seger, it might be that B'nai B'Seger, in other words, they had to answer the Tzukin. But you know, it's very interesting, and I want to go back again, this Gemara in Saita picks on Gzeira Shava. On Gzeira Shava. Now, we're going to ask me, what about Kavach Chomer? Kavach Chomer is rational, but see, Kavach Chomer ends up in a binyanav. In other words, Kavach Chomer has an out. It comes with a binyanav. Once it gets to the binyanav, you forget about the Kavach Chomer anymore. We'll speak about this. But in other words, this I want to claim is the important thing. Now, yeah.
Is it possible that the machlokes of Eversera is Erev Pesach Shchayos B'Shabbos.
Yeah.
And the Strukim always wanted Pesach to be on Shabbos.
What?
The Strukim always wanted Pesach to be on Shabbos. So the Machlokes are Shabbos. So if they were challenging it, it could be that they were trying to...
No, but it wasn't Shabbos Bereishis. Or maybe. I don't know. You're raising a good point. I didn't think of that. Whatever it is. But, I was Shabbos called Pesach on Shabbos, though. No, I was checking it on Friday.
That's what the Strukim would want.
That's what the Strukim would want. Ah, that's an interesting thesis. You're probably writing a thesis on it. You've got a PhD on that.
Yeah.
Anyway, but I don't think so, because I think that what they established that... I look at the Gemara in Menachos there. In other words, it was nested in the Pesach fallout on Shabbos, or just that... it's any Shabbos.
That's the whole Gemara Rosh Hashanah. They're trying to mess up the Kiddush HaKadosh so that Pesach fallout doesn't...
The Fidchas. I'm not sure. I had to think about it. But that would be very interesting. Okay, fine. Okay, in any case. Oh, so now what we have over here is this point. Now, I want to make a second important point too about this Gemara. While I'm on this Gemara, there's a Biesi and the Gezeira Shava. They're just saying.
Which Gemara?
Lamigillah Beis and Saita. And there he says, you know, Ziyatim Terashem. Right? He says, we learn from the Gezeira Shava. But how do you learn it? Give a Gezeira Shava. Now, it could be on the answer, you just asserting that, you know, we have the techniques in which we have to learn something, we don't have to resort to, you have no way of arriving at the conclusion. Now, the fact is that, in other words, how the Kusim know this? You have no way. How do you learn it? There's perhaps another way of understanding it. Is that, in other words, the Kusim, right? We says how would you learn it? Is that the Kusim there's an element too, an issue of the Kusim, is that the law of the Kusim, you know, the Kusim don't have changes in paradigms. You know, they have either Vesavis, you know, the Kusim, called the Stukim, don't have an interesting notion of changes in paradigm. What's interesting is that this comes out, very interesting enough, is in Seder Olam Rabba. Seder Olam Rabba speaks about that Alexander the Greek, the very Seder Olam Rabba, Alexander the Greek, comes to Yerushalayim. And it says, when he came to Yerushalayim, Seder Olam Rabba is interesting. It says, Atkan, right? You hear the Nevi'im. Right? Mikan va'elech ha tishma divrei chachamim. Okay, now, we have Tzaddik, I think, has a lot to say about this. We won't put up Tzaddik right now. But we see that, in other words, there is a notion, if I'll use a Reb Tzadik concept, is that just like in the, in other words, the Greeks bring a new culture, you know, Greek thinking certainly, you know, revolutionized the way people think of the world. So it's a Zulu Mazu, in the same way too. In other words, the change from Nevuah to Chokhmah, right, is coming at the same time that Alexander Mokdon, right, introduces Greek culture to Yerushalayim. In other words, how have I learned? The fact is, and Sadek says explicitly, I mean, this next week we're going to go into it in detail, but we see that the Kusim are backwards, they're primitive. The Stukim are primitive. They only know one way. In Chazal, there is, in Yiddishkeit, there is a concept of changing paradigms, and I'm not making cause and effect statement, at least not at this point, but the very, very fact is that the Selim Olim Rabba, right, is certainly making a commensurability between, in other words, the introduction of Greek culture and the change from Nevoah to Chokhmah. And this leads us to a very interesting issue, because the Nevoah, of course, doesn't use Midas. The Gemara is a Pesachim, made in Nevi'im b'nei Nevi'im. The Nevoah is really associated more with Hanhaga. We've spoken about this. The Nevi'im don't use Midas. Why do they use Midas? They're not in Nevi'im, they're only Chachamim. The Nevoah works on inspiration, Beseira, Minig, Takanas Nevi'im, Minig Nevi'im. No one speaks about a drush. Ain't Novi Rosh in the Chadish Boy Dover. Now is the Ramzi and Novi came like a drusha. Using the midas, it's in contradistinction to what a navi is to make a drasha. He's making a drasha, not making a navi already. So, what's interesting is, very interesting is that in this Seder Olim Rabba, we see that, and this is what I say the tripartite of in history is not only is there a, you know, obviously a clear Yigudas HaDavis, we don't rely on that, this is part of empirical spheres. And not only is there an onslaught from the Stukim, but at the same time, you know, El Tzlaya, you know, is inundated with Hellenistic culture, and the Greeks certainly had their ways of interpretation of scripture. And we see that at this point in history, Chazal, at least, are formulating what are the Yud Gimel Midas, which is rather clear that there are certain analogies of these things, right, in Greek and Roman rhetoric. There are several distinguished scholars who devoted articles in which, I mean, it's clear that there are very, very important parallels, right? In my opinion, they're not really parallels. Mitzvah will speak about that, but there are certain seeming parallels between the Yud Gimel Midas and between the works of Cicero and the Greek historian in interpreting scripture. And this is the third thing, which I think is very, very interesting. We speak about the Yud Gimel Midas time of Hillel. I mean, it's the way that Beis HaMikdash, there's the, you know, these, the influence, I mean, actually now it's Rome, but of course, you know, it's Greek. And it's clear. And I mean, this is not me, I'm saying I'm obviously saying it's clear that there's a conjunction of these two things. And what is the significance of that? So, in Mitzvah, next week, we're actually going to go a little bit deeply into this topic. This is, you'll only hear this on a shkafazirkel.com, of course, in a kosher way. And the two articles we're going to focus on is a distinguished, I think, David Dalby of Oxford University and Professor Shaul Lieberman, in which actually we're going to actually make an attempt to actually understand the Yud Gimel Midas in light of what was the surrounding culture, and using the same how we understand one or the other. But until then, from an undisclosed place in Yerushalayim, Baruch Kodesh, Kol Tuv, be well.